It'd be interesting to see if they decide to apply some more pressure to Wells tonight, to throw him off a bit, and to slow down that passing game.
And they'll have to. The one thing about Wells that I found very interesting is he is not a mobile quarterback. He is going to throw the ball, and that's all he's going to do. So far on the season, he has 19 rushing attempts credited to him for negative 109 yards. So pretty much his rushing attempts are sacks. That's basically what you're going to hear from that. So,
all right, folks. Well, we're going to, that's the end of the pregame. We'll be right back with you, or we're going to hear the national anthem.
You've been listening to the Butler Heating and Air Conditioning postgame report. We thank Butler Heating and Air Conditioning and all of our underwriters for helping us bring this game to you tonight. You've been listening to Fairmont Firebirds football on Information Radio 1660. Our thanks to Butler Heating and Air Conditioning for helping us to bring this game to you today. You can listen to this game or any other game from this season by going to our website at radio1660.com. Thanks for listening.
Folks, we are back here at Centerville Stadium. The game is about to start here between the Fairmont Firebirds and the Centerville Elks. As you heard Dennis say, Fairmont 4-4, Centerville 7-1. Fairmont is, it's got a tough game ahead of them. Also, something else, Dennis, to talk about is Fairmont and turnovers. Last week was decent with turnovers, but we've seen that, you know, in some of those losses, you know, there have been a few.
Well, in the margin for error, you know, if you listen to us, we talk about it a lot, but their margin for error is extremely small. They really have to play almost a perfect football game with the strength of the GWOC. I mean, night in, night out, you're playing against a top-tier team in the state of Ohio. I mean, there's no question. They get a little bit of a reprieve next week against Beaver Creek, not to pick on the Beavers, but outside of them, there is no week in the GWOC that's a week off. So, you know, it does create challenges when you play the style of football that Fairmont does, but they execute it at such a high level, and they're so well coached. One thing that's interesting, if you listen to Norm's interviews throughout the season, there's kind of a consensus. Every single coach from the opposing team compliments Dave Miller and how well coached this Fairmont football team is. That's not done lightly, folks. Like, that is genuine respect, and it shows week in, week out. Now, we talk about that margin. You can be as coached as great as you can be, but still, football happens sometimes, and that's what you have to watch out for, because when it does, and that ball just bounces the wrong way, all of a sudden things can get out of turn quickly. So, be interesting to see if Fairmont can move the ball.
Well, it appears that Fairmont will be kicking off here first in the first half here, folks. So that means Centerville will get the ball first, or receive the ball in the second half. Kicking off, of course, for Fairmont, that is Max Gehring. Fairmont is heading to the northern side of the field. Ball's got the lights on. Feels good in here. When this ball game's about to start, as Fairmont fakes the onside kick, and now they reassemble to go ahead and get this downfield. As you all know, Gehring, last week, I believe, was 2 for 2 for kicks over 40 yards. And he puts this one in the end zone. And so Fairmont's going to start this first drive, Dennis, on their, or Centerville will start the first drive on their 20-yard line.
First look at Mr. Wells, Drake Wells, 121 for 188. Like I said, 64% completion percentage, 7 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. The main rushers, you're going to see a few different names. Daniel Kamara, he's their leading rusher so far in the season in attempts. 86 attempts, 340 yards, has 3 touchdowns. The threat, though, Braylon Newcomb, 195 yards, 44 attempts, 7 rushing touchdowns.
All right, so Wells is in the gun. Kamara's to his right, takes a snap. He looks immediately to his right, throws an out, and is caught by the receiver, and that happens to be, that is number 24. That gentleman's name is Jamar Montgomery. Get used to hearing it. And so that is going to be a gain of five. Center go back to the line very quickly. Same set, two wide receivers. Wells looks for the snap. He's looking to the sideline now in the backfield. That's Daniel Kamara standing to his right. Montgomery split off to the right. Wells takes a snap, hands it off to Wells, who counters back to the right, and he's able to get to about the 26-yard line before he's tackled by, that is number 68 on the tackle, Connor Haston. So they're going to say that's a gain of one, third and four for the Elks. They go four wide, two to each side of the field. Wells in the backfield, looking for the snap. He has it. Looks at me to his left. He keeps it. Runs up the middle. He's got room. He has the first down. And he moves upfield. Gets to the 35. That's a pickup of nine for Wells on the rush. First down Elks.
What did I say at the beginning of the game? Not a really a rushing threat. Right off the bat. 19 attempts, 109 yards. His long on the season is 15. So, but that one was wide open. He took what they gave him.
Yes, he did. As they go three wide, man in motion to the near side of the field, the tight end. Wells takes a snap, hands it out to the back, who runs straight to the middle. He's going to get 4 yards, Kamara did, before he is down, taken down by multiple people. As I saw Gavin Profit in on the tackle at minimum. So they're going to say gain of six feels like more five. Yes, sir. And so that is going to bring up second and five from the 41-yard line.
Newcomb in at quarterback right now. You don't know if this is Wildcat or he's definitely a thrower. He can throw the ball.
Right, Newcomb is in at quarterback, and he is going to hand it off to number three. He comes around the end, and he gets close to first down on the rush. That was Reggie Powers who came around the side for the rush, and he's able to get very close to the first down.
It's only his third rushing attempt on the season, long of four. So looking to get him involved with a kind of a trick play early on.
Right. So they're going to put the ball down at the 46-yard line. Another first down for the Elks. So it appears that the Elks are going to go four wide, trips to the near side of the field. Now they're going to go five wide, three to the near side of the field, empty backfield for Wells. Wells takes snap, three rushed by Fairmont, but they got the pressure on him, though, and they're able to get the sack. And so 50-68 in on the sack. That was Connor Haston, but that initial pressure was, who was that, Dennis?
Well, Wilkins got in there, and also it was 50, I think that's 8, it's hard to see, but they actually ruled that incomplete. He dumped the ball out, and it barely trickled out, but they actually ruled it incomplete.
Interesting. So that is incomplete, second and 10, four wide trips to the near side of the field. One running back in the backfield. Wells throws a wide receiver screen to the right. Caught by, that was Braylon Newcomb, who was able to pick up 3 yards. Taken down by Daniel Seaton. So that's a gain of three. They're going to put the ball down at the 49-yard line. And that's going to bring up third and seven for the Elks.
Last week they were 5 of 10 on third down. They converted their first third down here. So mathematically they would not convert.
Three wide, one tied in, handoff, fakes the handoff to Wells, or Wells fakes the handoff to the tailback. Kamara passes it to his receiver, and that was caught for the first down by Quincy Caponia, number 86, for the first down off on the left side of the field. So that's a gain of seven, and that should be the third first down for the Elks on this drive. Wells, once again, in the gun, motion to the near side of the field. Double tight end. Hands off to the tailback. Attempts to get around the right-hand side. Does for a bit before he's tripped up. Might have picked up 3 yards. In and around there for the tackle. Once again, that's Daniel Seaton. The rush was by Daniel Kamara.
And so far, Aaron, this has been kind of expected, that cat-and-mouse game. Fairmont bending. Centerville takes what you give them. You know, they're perfectly fine taking these 4 and 5 yards at a time and executing the third downs, but it'll be interesting to see if this stays or if Centerville can find some bigger plays.
So Parker Johnson was in the backfield, splits out to the right. Wells takes a snap, looks to his left, catches the receiver for another wide receiver screen, and he's able to turn upfield. That was number 24, Jamar Montgomery, who was squiggly, as you heard Dennis say earlier, and able to get up that first down. That's up for another Centerville. First
down.
He's able to get all the way down to the 30-yard line of Fairmont before he's tackled.
They're a fun team to watch, Aaron. I mean, these plays, especially the first drive, are pretty scripted, but very creative. Creative in getting their receivers into space, getting their athletes out. Fairmont's doing a good job rushing to the ball carrier, getting, you know, kind of gang tackling, but it's been a tough ask so far to stop them.
So Wells in the pistol, three wide, man in motion to the near side of the field. That has a tailback, and the screen is thrown to him, and he is out very quickly. That was Daniel Kamara, who came out for the wide receiver of the halfback screen. He's able to push upfield to get to about the 21-yard line, a gain of 9.
Fairmont's going to have to put some pressure on Wells one way or another. It's hard when you're that spread out and how accurate he's throwing the ball, but he's picking them apart.
Once again, three wide to the near side of the field, one tailback, and they hand off this time, and he runs straight up the middle to about the 15-yard line. That appeared to be Parker Johnson back in the game and half back, and he picked up the first down.
Time just ticking off already, Aaron. It's like a Fairmont drive already.
It does, folks, as we're already down to 7:22 remaining here in the first quarter. Wells in the pistol, two wide receivers, man in motion near side of the field, hands the ball to Parker, but he stopped in the backfield. Oh, he thought he was stopped as Seaton got to him, but didn't tackle him, and Parker was able to turn upfield for a gain of 3 or so as he went off that left tackle. Collin in on the tackle, and that's going to bring up 2nd and 7 for the Elks from the 12-yard line.
That was a good play by Kamara. Just making something out of nothing.
Wells gets under center. Two wide receivers in the near side of the field. Hands it off to Kamara, who's able to get to the 9-yard line before he's taken down by Tavin Gifford, amongst others.
Another big third down here, Aaron. They've had a few of them. They've converted each of them, but this one's a third and a little longer.
Right, 3rd and 3. From the 8-yard line. Wells goes in the pistol. Kamara's to his left. Looks to throw. Fade route. In and out of his receiver's hand. Great defense there by Seaton, as that was intended for Jamar Montgomery, but Seaton broke that up, and that is going to force Centerville to kick the field goal. So great job there by Centerville. Leland Gantz, we were talking about him before we got here, maybe the best kicker in the GWOC.
It's a chip shot for him.
It's going to be a 25-yarder. It's good, and there are flags.
If this is against Fairmont by any chance, it's not. I was going to say, that'll give him a first down.
It would have. Offsides, though, against Centerville is going to back him up a bit. So what was a 25-yard is now going to be a 30-yard field goal for Leland Gantz, who I believe Barney talked quite a bit about last week.
Yeah, he's quite – both the kickers for these two teams are very good.
So the ball's on the right hash mark. The hold is good. The kick is up, and it appears to be plenty good. And it is. Not even missed it. Oh, my goodness. So with that – he missed it, and so the score is 0-0. Let's hear from our sponsors.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard them mentioned during today's game on the radio. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home, Medical, and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen, Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotorer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Cinerama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And we'd also like to thank Coin Dentistry for your sponsorship this year. While we were away, Fairmont actually threw a pass caught by, it looked like it was Seton who caught the pass from Baker for about 20 yards there. As Fairmont currently is at the 40-yard line, first and 10. One wide receiver split out to the left as Carson Copley in the backfield. That appears to be Justin Turner Jr. Motion to the near side. Face handle Turner. Baker attempts to take it himself. Nothing going as he goes behind Baker. He may have gotten a yard. Multiple Elks in on the tackle. But folks, while we're away, there was a great pass from Baker, I believe, Seton.
And that's, yeah, absolutely. Try to catch him sleeping. Come out on the first play, not what you would really expect. This Fairmont team has thrown the ball. That was attempt number 38 for Brock Baker. Why does that matter? They have not attempted as a team more than 37 passes since 2016. So I just found that interesting when I was looking at some of the numbers beforehand. So there's a lot more trust in Baker throwing the ball.
So Baker under center, two wide receivers, motion to the far side of the field, looks to keep it himself, get around the end. He may have gotten 2 yards, and that's going to bring up 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7 for Fairmont as they're going to put the ball down at around the 42-yard line, need to get to the 50. So this is 3rd and 8. This is a long distance, Dennis, for the Firebirds. We'll see what they're up to here.
Yeah, I mean, this Centerville defense is no joke. They are extremely tough. Last week they gave up 16 against Springfield, but going forward the weeks before, 6, 13, 14, 17, 14, 12. They don't give up a lot of points. We've got a timeout right now on the field, so gives us a minute to kind of talk about this defense a little bit. But when you read off those numbers and you look all the way through, even in their loss, they gave up 22 points. They just have not given up anything. Now, that's the most points they've given up on the season was 22. That was at Dublin Kaufman, a very good team up in Columbus. So, point is, I mean, I thought it was just a great play call to come out on first down like they did and throw. Really caught them off guard and moved it. I think you're going to have to continue to do things like that and keep them honest, because if you do and it opens up that rushing attack, then this game takes on a whole new feel. As it is, quickly, 3rd and long here.
So, 3rd and 8, ball at the 42-yard line. Need to get to midfield for the first down. The ball set down at the far hash mark. We have double wings here to the left-hand side of the field. Age Dunleavy and Zach Gagel. One wide receiver also split to the near side of the field. In the backfield, that looks like that is Turner. And there's a reverse as he gets around the side. And we got room upfield, 40, 30, and he's in the end zone as Fairmont caught Centerville totally not seeing that. As that was, who was that? That was
Doty.
Stevie Doty is able to go all the way around the right-hand side there for the touchdown. And the score is Fairmont 6, Centerville 0.
That was the Remember the Titans backside George reverse, if I've ever seen it. I'm telling you, what a great play call. And you're right, fooled them, fooled everybody, and was wide open. Great speed going down, but was untouched. Great play call.
So we have the extra point by Max Gehrings down up, and blocked. It is blocked. And that's the first time that's happened this season. So the score is Fairmont 6, Centerville 0.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard them mentioned during the games on radio. This year's underwriters are Act Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen, Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Riez Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, Flower Shop, and the USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And we are back here at Centerville Stadium. Score Fairmont 6, Centerville 0. Fairmont set to kick off. And that ball is high in the air from Gehring, taken at the 1 for the return for Centerville. To the 20-yard line, angles to the sideline, and goes out of bounds. We've got a penalty on the play, as that was returned by number 3, Reggie Powers.
During the run back, we do have a flag.
So we're not quite sure what that flag was for. Maybe it was a block in the back. Yeah, I think it was a hold. And so they're walking that back some more.
Holding.
He pretty much laid on him right at about the 25-yard line. So good call there. That was in front of us.
So they're going to take that back to the 15-yard line. That's where Centerville is going to start their second drive of the evening with 3:39 remaining here in the first quarter.
You got to love high school football, right, Aaron? I mean, Centerville comes out, just marches right down the field, gets stopped, gets the field goal, penalty. They back up 5 yards, miss the field goal. Fairmont scores in 4 plays. Unbelievable.
Right. Hand off to the tailback who runs over the right tackle. That was Kamara, and he's able to get to about the 15. Was that the 15-yard line? No, he got to about, yes, to about the 15. A gain of 1 or so, 16, they're going to say, 2nd and 9.
3:15 and counting in the first.
So Wells is in the pistol. 2 wide receivers split off to the far side of the field. Motion to the far side of the field by Calgill, the tight end, who now goes sets as a wide receiver. They set the running back into motion right outside of his hands. Intended wide receiver screen to Kamara, who was coming out of the backfield right off the tip of his hands. That's going to bring him 3rd and 9. Well, that was a good-looking play in Ford, but he didn't catch it, Dennis.
And that's, I mean, we've seen 2 balls now go kind of through the hands of Centerville receivers, and that's where, you know, we always talk about Fairmont's margin. They don't subject themselves to some of that.
4 wide, 2 to each side of the field for Centerville. Wells takes a snap. Looking downfield, he's got his running back open there in the flat. Got some time, looks like a hold. Catches his receiver, his tailback there in the flat, Parker Johnson, who sat down there in coverage. It's a 1st down, but there is a flag thrown. I believe it's going to be holding.
Yeah, I think you're right, Aaron. That'll march them back another penalty. And, you know, we talked in the pregame about turnovers being so important. Penalties right up there as well as with drive killers. They can absolutely set you back. They cost them points earlier with the field goal, and then now just keep marching them back. And you're going to have a 3rd and forever here for the Elks, already trailing now 6-0.
Now, the Elks need to get to the 25-yard line for the 1st down. The ball currently is at the 8. Folks, do that math. Feels like 17 yards to pay dirt for Centerville.
You got a gang tackle here, because what happens inevitably, we saw this against Springboro and Miamisburg, even in this down and distance, they back up, they throw it underneath, and then they just get it after the catch. And Fairmont really has to rally to the ball here.
So Fairmont appears to be in the dime here, rushing 3. Wide receiver screen caught on the left-hand side of the field and taken down very quickly at the 12-yard line. And that's going to bring up 4th and about 13 for Centerville. And they are going to punt as we see Leland Gantz come back on the field.
Perfect game script so far for the Firebirds. Get the stop, go down and score, another stop. Now if they can sustain a drive and take some clock, this would be a perfect game script for Coach Miller.
Good-looking punt by Leland Gantz. Returned to the 45 by Cameron Payne. He's still up on his wheels here, and he's taken down to the 42-yard line, but a flag's thrown also on this play, and I believe it's going to be a hold or a block in the back by Fairmont.
It's everywhere. There's flags everywhere. They must like that Centerville yellow. They're throwing it a lot.
They are quite a bit.
It was, though. I mean, he sprung him, and that's the whole thing. Now, you can call it on a lot of plays, but these are, you know, I think so far the calls have been very good calls because they've affected the play.
So we had a hold there against Fairmont, and they're going to walk this return back to the 39-yard line. So that's where Fairmont's going to get started here. 2:14 remaining here in the first quarter. It's Fairmont 6, Centerville 0.
We got 12.
Fairmont's got two wide receivers in this set, one split off to each side of the field. I believe that is Justin Turner in the backfield. Standing behind Brack Turner, who gets under center. Most to the near side, Turner pitch out to Gagel, who comes around the right-hand side, and he's taken down after a gain of four. So that was a good-looking play there by Fairmont. They're able to get outside and push up to the 42-yard line.
They need to keep dialing up these plays. A lot of misdirection. They're throwing the counters. We've already seen a reverse. We've seen a play-action pass. I love everything I'm seeing from this Fairmont team so far. It's what you're kind of asking for every week.
Second and seven from four Fairmont. Bunch set. No receivers in the play. That appears. Is that Cameron Payne? Nope. That is Patton, who rushes around the right-hand side. He's able to pick up about four as he gets to the 46-yard line. Fairmont needs to get to the 49-yard line, third and two. Substitution for Centerville coming into the game. That appears to be number nine, Lulu Sear.
Make some noise, offense at third!
Wouldn't surprise me at all to see Turner just keep this himself. They would probably go for it if it's fourth and one. This is the down and distance that they want to be in, where they're most comfortable.
Baker under center, motion to the far side, pitches it out to Gagel once again. Oh, not able to get there. Who is that, Dennis? Is that number 19?
I think so.
Or is it 24?
Gagel got the pitch out.
Right, but the tackle for Centerville, I want to say that was, folks, we didn't get his number. It might have been 84, but great tackle. Fairmont is going for it. I formation, power eye. Fourth and one from the 48-yard line. Baker under center, hands it off to Turner, jumps over the pile to get it. Last week, and this is an improvement from two games ago, they brought in Cameron Payne last week, and he got every single one of these.
Okay.
But they're back to Turner, first down for Fairmont.
I haven't seen anybody stop it yet. If it's about 2 yards, they won't do it. It's too far. But if it's 1 yard or less, they will run it, and I have not seen it stopped.
I'm impressed by the Centerville defense. They are very fast. They're very quick and fast from side to side of the field, which you need to be against Fairmont.
That's going to take us to the end of the first quarter.
And that is the end of the first quarter. The score is Fairmont 6, Centerville 0.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard them mentioned during the games on radio. This year's underwriters are Act Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys, Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen, Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Las Rias Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tub and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and U.S. Tire and Auto Service Center.
And we'd also like to thank Coin Dentistry for your sponsorship this year. We're back on the field. East team is flip sides here as we start the second quarter. And we've got a rush here by, that's Asia Dunleavy, I believe. Or let's see who that was. I want to make up things. No, that was Stevie Doty, who was the left wing, came around for the rush and was able to pick up the first down as he got the ball all the way down to the 39-yard line.
That was the same play that went for the touchdown in the first quarter. So Centerville did a good job of getting to the boundary and forcing him to cut back inside, but Doty did just that, stuck his foot in the ground, cut up field, got a first down. Definitely a new dynamic, Stevie Doty, you know, giving them that speed threat.
And so Gagel back in the game. Dunleavy standing to his right. They're both on the left-hand side line. rush by Baker, who keeps it, turns up field, and he's able to get a big gainer as he gets all the way down to the 26-yard line as he followed behind the wings and the back who came through, and they're going to put him down at the 27-yard line. Another first down for Fairmont.
Momentum just building, and Coach Miller really just pulling everything out of the bag, just really designing. Centerville's doing a great job at the point of attack, and you could see it. If Fairmont was doing their usual turnaround and hand it off to the fullback, it'd be stuffed, play in, play out, because they're really committed, Centerville is, to stopping it, and they're putting everything in. So Fairmont has been just running quick outs and everything just right to the outside, right off the tackles, and it's really working.
So Baker keeps the ball, attempts to run behind the double wings on the left-hand sideline. He's taken down there by a couple of the Elks. Amongst them was number two. That gentleman's name is Landon King.
It was the first time that I saw Baker be indecisive, and that's what cost him. He had a little hole. He had a second. He would have only gained about 3 yards, but he could have taken it. Instead, he wanted a bigger play, tried to bounce it out. Centerville rallied, caused him to lose some yardage.
So Stevie Doty back in the game. He is the left wing, right wing. He goes into motion into the backfield. Once again, motion by Doty. Takes the pitch, comes around the left-hand side, tries, tips, goes upfield, and he does so. He's able to pick up about 4 yards before he's pushed out of bounds.
This is something I have not seen for Fairmont in quite some time, and that is where you have a player that is faster than everybody else on the defense. You know, I have not seen Fairmont have that. You know, they really have done it through power through the years. You know, I don't want to discount the speed of the Deglos and, you know, of the world, but that speed is different right there, Aaron. He made that, he kind of stretched that out and gained a play that really could have went for a loss.
You're right, Dennis. We haven't seen Stevie Doe utilize this in this particular way this much yet. Baker comes around the right side, but into the backfield very quickly once again is Landon King, and he's able to sack Brock Baker for a loss of two there, and that's going to bring up 4th and 9 for Fairmont. It appears if they're going to attempt... Are they going to attempt a field goal here? They are.
Yeah, it'll be a long one, but he can do this. This is from about 52. What is it going to be?
27 plus 17.
A 47?
Yeah, that's 44 yards.
44, yep.
For Gehring, and he had 2 40 plus last week, I believe. So the hold is good. The kick is up, and it appears to be plenty good. Get there.
Nope.
Oh, it is slightly off to the right, I believe. And so that is the end of that particular drive. The score is still Fairmont 6, Centerville 0, Dennis.
We talked up these two field goal kickers being the best in the GWOC, and we're missing fields. Now, I mean, that's a tough field goal. And also something to consider, I mean, it's still a pretty nice night out, but it's getting colder. That ball's not going to fly quite as far. He did not hit that clean, no question. He hit a 47-yarder on the season, and that one, like you said, was 44. So he's got the leg for that that didn't make it happen. But must be a penalty after the play because they're already marching backwards here. So right. I don't know if it was me. I didn't see the flag.
Me
so
either.
It had to be like a unsportsmanlike conduct or something because we didn't see anything, and it was after the play. But moved him back to the 20.
And so Wells, set to take the snap out of the gun, has a snap, hands it off to the tailback, runs around here to the left on the rush. That was, I believe, Kamara, who's able to get to the 24-yard line. That's a gain of 4 and brings up 2nd and 6. So, folks, we have 9 minutes remaining here in the first half. Fairmont's up 6-0. Wells under center, 2-wide receivers split to the left, motion to the far side by one of the receivers. It's a handoff to Kamara out of the backfield, runs off this right tackle, and he's wrapped up, but still continues to rush forward. I believe that was 75 in on the tackle for the Firebirds. Aiden Ferguson.
Third and one for Centerville.
So 3rd and 1 for the Elks. Ball's in the middle of the field. 2 wide receivers in the set. To the far side is Jamar Montgomery. Kamara in the backfield with Wells, who's looking for the snap in the gun. Looks like a blitz from Fairmont, and they do jump off sides. And that is going to give
They're moving backwards. I think it was...
it was offside. So one of the Centerville linemen moved, it appears. And so that is going to be a penalty against Centerville. We saw this is problematic for them so far tonight.
Another one. And they're big ones. That was a third and inches. Now we're looking at third and five. You know, I mean, not that they can't pick that up, but just a much tougher ask.
Three wide receivers to the near side of the field, one tight end. Wells looking for the snap. Has it. Looks to the right immediately under pressure. Rolls up. He's going to get out of pressure, and he's going to be taken down. He throws it. And might have been caught by his receiver somehow. Wow. Completed pass at the last moment to Bryce Cowgill. It looked like it was out of desperation, but he was able to get the ball to Cowgill, who was totally wrapped up for the first down.
Yeah. For Cowgill, let's see here, 16 receptions, 173 yards. So, I mean, he's no stranger to catching the ball. But, yeah, that was great strength by Wells to just get that out because he was being dragged down. I thought that was going to get picked.
So we got... three wide. We've got the wide receiver running out to the flat now. Empty backfield for Wells, who looks immediately to his left. The receiver is open in the flat. He's taken down immediately. On the catch was number five, Seaton on the tackle. Number five for Centerville is Braylon Newcomb on the catch, a gain of two. So that's second and eight for Centerville. Clock continues to move here. 7 minutes remaining in the game. Three wide, four wide for Centerville. Wells and gun takes snap, immediately throws to his right to receiver who runs it out, and he's open. That was number 86 on the reception. Quincy Capagna and may have gained a yard before the great takedown there by Fairmont. I didn't get that gentleman's name on the tackle, unfortunately. We'll do better here.
Keep an eye on Newcomb, number five. He is limping pretty heavily. That last tackle, he got hit hard by Seaton, and he is not right.
Seaton on the tackle, four wide for Centerville. Wells looking for the snap. He has it. Immediately throws to his right once again, and that receiver turns upfield, pressed out of bounds there by, amongst others, number 16, and also, that looks like Stevie Doughty. I want to say, yes, and that's going to force Centerville to punt here because it's fourth and two.
Doughty making an impact on both sides of the ball. Oh, almost blocked.
I know. Gantz gets a beautiful punt off. Way fair catch by Cameron at the Cameron Payne at the 15-yard line, 16-yard line.
That ball gave him trouble. He fell down when he caught it. He did a good job just bringing it in. When you call the fair catch, all you have to do is catch the ball. But you could tell that ball was kind of knuckleballing on him because he fell to the ground and just gathered it in. But it was so close. That's football for you on both sides. It was an inch away from being blocked and then an inch away from being muffed. So as it is, Fairmont takes over, leading 6-0.
All right, so the ball's at the 17-yard line for Fairmont. And they get started on this drive, trying to get some more points on the board. Scored a touchdown, missed a field goal, or missed extra point, and have missed a field goal here tonight. So we've got one wide receiver in the set. Baker under center. Fakes the handoff to Turner. Pass the ball, caught in the seam. Oh,
no.
Right through the hands of Zach Gagel, who was in the seam, and the pass was right there in his hands, and he did not catch it. He might be in the end zone, had he.
And the ball was a little in front of him, you know, to give him some credit and just give him an out, because, yes, I don't know if he gets caught there. Ball was just a little, I mean, you're talking a yard out in front, 1 yard less, and he's running for a while. But I love the play call, aggressive again.
Great looking play, unexpected by Fairmont. One wide receiver here to the near side of the field. Turner in the backfield, standing behind Baker. Baker gets under center, motion to the near side. Baker keeps it as he runs around the left-hand side. Finds a little room, pushes up the field, gets 5 yards on the keeper. That is going to bring up third and five for the Firebirds. Clock is moving. 5:53 remaining in the half.
And it's the interesting thing about them going for it on first down. I love the play call, but with it not happening, you stop the clock, and now you're in a third and long. So it's very interesting, that cat and mouse game. Fairmont fans always wanting them to throw, but you see what happens when you get just a mistake, just a drop ball. Now you're third and long.
Baker fakes the handoff, runs, oh, pitches it out to the tailback, comes around left-hand side.
Be close.
And there's pushed out of bounds. That was Asia Dunleavy on, oh, no, that was, yeah. Dunleavy on the rush. I saw 44 for Centerville in on tackle, amongst others, Lucas Smith. And we've got one person down on the field. It appears to be an elk.
And so they're going to attend to him. But as it is, I think Fairmont's going to have a very tough decision coming up here, Aaron. And it's going to be a fourth and one from about their own 27. Norm's saying two, so maybe they marked it back. That's going to make the decision a little easier, to be honest, because I think you have to punt this away. But it's a tough one to swallow, because Miller would have loved to ate up the rest of this clock.
Yeah.
But I would be shocked to see them go for it. Well, I shouldn't say shocked, because it would not surprise me. But they'll probably punt this thing away.
Right, as they appear to be punting, as we see come onto the field. I believe that is Gehring standing deep. Oh, no, it's Seton, who's the punter, excuse me. And deep for Centerville, standing at his own 45-yard line. Seton has it. He has it there. It's an end-over-end kick. Bounces out of bounds around the 35-yard line of Centerville.
It's a good punt.
Mm-hmm. And so Centerville back in business here, down six. 5:18 remaining here in the first half.
And it's an important drive here in the second half, because time obviously is ticking down here in the half, and Fairmont will get the ball to start the second half. So for both teams here, Centerville obviously wanting to get off, you know, the zeros and just get into the scoring column. And for Fairmont, if you can hold here, you have an excellent chance of potentially getting some more points before halftime, and then, you know, obviously taking a two-score lead into halftime here would be huge.
Parker Johnson in the backfield with Wells. He's got three wide receivers and set all to the near side of the field. Wells looking for the snap. He has it. Immediately throws the left wide receiver screen. Caught by the receiver. Great tackle. Yanked up by Seton at about the 34-yard line. Caught by Jamar Montgomery, only for a gain of one or so.
You see the strength of that young man? Because he was by him, and he pulled him down by just the strength of that right arm. And it was low enough that it wasn't a horse collar, but that was what it looked like, the way he kind of slammed him down.
Center flips that same formation to the other side of the field. They were three wide. Now the receiver moves back across the field to the near side. Hand off to the back as he comes around the left, taken down very quickly after a gain of one at the bottom of that pile. Gavin Prophet. Fairmont defense playing well here in the first half, Dennis.
Yeah, I think Coach Miller challenged them after their last 2 weeks. I think that they really had to get back to their fundamental core, you know, things that are going to drive this team, and that's defense, you know, controlling the ball, controlling the clock, and you're seeing it so far.
Empty backfield for the for the Elks, as they run the wide receiver screen back to the left-hand side of the field, and that was caught by Jamar Montgomery, but for no gain.
And he just laid on the ground for a minute, because he knows he dropped that ball. I mean, he caught it, but he had to go to the ground to catch it because he bobbled it, and he had plenty of room, blockers out in front. That was a big play.
And so that forces Centerville in the fourth and eight. They're going to punt deep for Fairmont. That's Cameron Payne. And we see Leland Gantz set the punt here. Ooh, it might have been blocked there, Dennis.
I do think it was, but great bounce.
And Cameron Payne needs to get all the way out of the way there. It bounced all the way down to the 24-yard line. So despite the tip, and I'm not sure who tipped it for Fairmont, that ball took a precipitous bounce there for the Elks. Fairmont business at the 24-yard line.
Aaron, that ball landed at about the 50 and then rolled to the 25. And I'm not exaggerating. Maybe, you know, the 48. But that ball, it was tipped, and it came down, and a very fortunate bounce for Centerville to get that rollout. Because if that bounces back, you're going to have the ball in Centerville territory. But as it is, plenty of time to work for the Firebirds.
3:31 remaining here on the clock. Fairmont trying to get the ball downfield. They got a bunch set double wing here to the near side of the field in the backfield. That is, I want to say, Payne picks up 2 yards or so, or Patton, excuse me. So Patton picks up a couple yards here. And the clock continues to move, 2nd and 8 for Fairmont.
Stop by the Centerville Black Shirts.
See if they get too creative here or if they're going to kind of milk the clock. It'd be interesting to see. Centerville has to make a substitution. I think one of their players is bleeding, and so they'll pull him off and make him clean it up.
Okay. Ball to 26-yard line. They reset here. 23 seconds on the play clock. Baker in the huddle giving out the play. We've got one wide receiver split out far to the left in the route. That is Carson Copley. Double wing to the left-hand side of the field. Patton in the backfield. Well, now they split that off to each side. Motion to the near side of the field. Baker pitches it out to Doty, who's able to push upfield to the 35-yard line, and that's a first down for the Firebirds.
That's a great move by Doty. He was pretty much, I think Centerville even kind of gave up on the play initially because he was going out of bounds, but he spun back upfield, ended up picking up the first down, and that's a drive starter. I think Fairmont would have kind of milked clock a little bit, but now expect him to kind of move their version of a hurry-up.
Right, 2:19 remaining on the clock. One wide receiver split to the far side. That is Tony Bruno. Baker under center. Both wings are off to the left. Baker hands it off to, I want to say it's Doty, comes back across the field. And it is Doty who gets to the 39-yard line, a gain of 4. It brings up 2nd and 6. Clock continues to move. 1:54 remaining here in the half. Fairmont's up 6-0. So Doty out of the game, Cameron Payne out of the game.
A lot of speed out, a lot of muscle in.
So the ball is marked at the 39-yard line, 2nd and 6 for the Firebirds. One wide receiver split off to the far side of the field. Right wing back, that appears to be Gagel. Left is done leaving the backfield is Turner. And it looks like a pass by Baker, who throws it the last second, caught by Dunleavy, I believe, and he's going all the way. There's a flag on the play, but we'll see who is against. Was that a hold? As Dunleavy catches the pass from Baker. Touchdown for the Firebirds, but there's a flag on the play, and we'll see if it stands or who it's against. I believe it's a hold.
Pins and needles. It sure looks like it. They're marching back.
And so they're looking to the sideline, talking to the coach about what's going on here, but they haven't called not a thing yet. I think the play's coming back then. It's going to be a hold against Fairmont, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, the players are all marching back, not celebrating at this point, so you know it's against Fairmont. What a play by Baker.
Right.
And hung in there in the pocket, took a pop.
It's so wide open. Chop block. Oh, my goodness. So chop block against Fairmont takes a touchdown off the board here with 1:15 remaining in the game.
About a 70-yarder.
Yes. Catching Centerville totally off guard with these passes.
Oh, yeah, and, I mean, he's doing well. He's throwing accurately. It's a different dynamic, and when you introduce that, it makes them very dangerous.
And these are passes that we saw at the end of the previous game.
The Wayne game?
Yes. And we're like, oh, that's going to work going forward. So, wow. So that takes the ball back, folks. 11 yards. It's going to bring up 2nd and 21 for the Firebirds with 1:15 remaining in the game.
Fairmont would love to eat up some clock, but Centerville will use their timeouts most likely when they're out of the field.
So no wide receivers in the set. Double wing to the left. Baker motion near side. Baker fakes the handoff. Rolls to his left. Run. Looking to pass. Keeps it. Turns up field. He's to the 35-yard line. Takes a little punishment there. But he picks up 12 before he's finally taken down. That's going to bring up 3rd and 9 for the Firebird. Clock moving. 1:03 remain in the contest. For one reason or another, and they stop the clock. We'll take it because of the timeout called by Centerville.
Yeah, and I think you have to take the time out there. Obviously, you got a third and long coming up, but Fairmont showing the ability to move the ball here like they have not in years. I'm just very impressed. Don't want to sound like, you know, you're beating a dead horse, but it is not something we're used to seeing. And if I'm trying to put myself in the Centerville defensive coordinator's position, because, I mean, for 5 years, this team has been the most predictable thing on the planet, and it's not right now. And I don't know how you exactly stop it, because I don't know what's coming next.
Right, because literally there are passes and routes being run that we've never seen before.
And like I said, they're doing a good job running the ball with counters, reverses. I mean, there's players moving all over the place, and they're really executing. I believe this is about as good as Fairmont can play. They've got a few things here or there, but when you draw it up on paper, this is about as much as you can ask for from your high school football team.
Right. It's important for ball control. We've seen in previous years with the pitch outs, we've seen a lot of fumbles, inability to hold on to the ball. That's not the case this year. When that pitch is coming, it's on time from Baker, and then whoever he's pitching to is actually taking the ball.
Yeah.
Hold on to it and turn upfield.
You're right. I mean, and ball security has been great, but it is something to be said because the pitches are on the money. They're in rhythm.
So we have Stevie Doughty, who is the receiver to the left. He looked the pass. He turns upfield. Nothing going there. Looked like we had a bit of trickeration. Yes, there by Fairmont. It didn't work out well. Centerville saw that coming. Ran out of bounds. Stopped the clock with a minute left in the half. Forced a punt.
If nothing else, you got to go down there on the boundary and make them use another one of their timeouts. That's a mental mistake there by Doughty.
Seaton at the 22-yard line gets his punt off. And nice-looking punt.
Good punt.
And that punt's going back, taken by the back. Ooh, fumbled. They're around the 10-yard line there by Centerville. That's number three, who turns upfield, and he's going to get out of bounds around the 25-yard line. And so Centerville going to see what they're able to do here at the end of the half. 47.4 seconds remaining. It's Fairmont 6, Centerville 0.
And as we know, their kicker has quite the leg. When Coach was talking to Norm, he was talking about potentially from 55, you know, that he would feel comfortable throwing him out there. So they don't need to move the ball a ton here to get some points on the board. We'll see. What do they have left? Do they have two timeouts?
Is it two?
Yep, they got two. They should have one. That was it. We'll see if that one burns them, because they should only have one.
Dennis, I would love to see a 55-yarder here in high school.
You know, I think he does have the leg. And, I mean, Coach Ollery, you know, I don't know. He's been good from 50, so I'd love to see it as well in a way.
Right, five wide, three to the near side of the field. Wells looking to the left. He's under a bit of pressure, rolls to the right, throws to the receiver, almost intercepted there. Great coverage. I believe that is 24 there. Mm-hmm. That was Logan Wilkins, who had great defense, almost got the interception.
And he is, we talked about him at the beginning of the game, he's a defensive lineman, so he rolled all the way back into coverage and did a great job. It should have been picked. He's going to be mad at himself. That ball was severely underthrown. Good throw there. He would have connected, but he was on the move. That's the first time I've seen him throw on the move, and he underthrew it quite a bit.
Three rushing from Fairmont, five wide from Centerville. Pass is thrown. Caught. Great pass and catch from Wells to Campagna. Quincy Campagna. First down four. The Elks clock stops at 35.5 seconds on the clock.
Yeah, when he's standing still and in rhythm, he is very accurate.
So Wells looking to throw, rolls to his right, comes back to his left. He's under pressure. I thought there was a hold there. Who can tell? He throws the ball to his receiver. Ooh, I think his tender receiver was number three, Reggie Powers, but threw it to his right. And that is going to bring up second down as the clock stops with 25.5 seconds remaining here in the half.
If you're learning anything from this drive, it's you got to get Wells on the move. That's another poorly thrown ball. He was rolling. Now, the hardest throw you could make is rolling to your left as a right-handed quarterback and throw that across your body, which is what he was doing there. But that was another one that was very close to being intercepted.
So four wide, three to the far side of the field, five wide, empty backfield for Wells. Wells takes snap, looks to his left. No, pulls the ball down. He's going to be taken down. Oh, and he looks to throw the ball. That, yes, they're throwing all kinds of flags. That was illegal for a pass there. Yes, because he should have just held on to that, and that is going to walk that back for Centerville big time there.
I was not 100% sure he threw it. I thought the ball just came out fumble style, but, yeah, I guess they're going to say, you know, intentional grounding.
I believe so. As right now they're talking about it.
They'll have to because they blew it dead. Fairmont, clear recovery. They would have had it, but they blew it dead.
And to me, it seems like an obvious intentional grounding. And if it was intentional grounding, it was a turnover.
Yeah, it would be a fumble, no question. I thought it was. I mean, I did. He got spun around. Basically, what happened, folks, is he stepped up into the pocket, started to run, and the defender rolled off his, you know, the blocker. And when he did, he took it by surprise. He wasn't expecting right there, and he grabbed him, really spun him around full force, and that ball just flew out. They're still talking about it.
I thought that he was intentional at grounding it. Man, they're saying illegal forward pass.
Which is kind of crazy, because that means they're going to say he was past the line of scrimmage, and I don't know.
I don't know if he was.
If he was past the line of scrimmage, how is it only going to be, you know, they're only like 3 or 4 yards behind the stick. So that's an interesting one, folks.
I don't know if I agree with that one, Dennis, but that brings up 3rd and 14 Right.
It would be, at bare minimum, it would be 15, you know, if it was a 5-yard penalty. But who knows?
So 19.4 seconds remaining. Centerville up to the line, 2 wide, 1 tailback. And they hand it off, and he is taken down right there. I want to say that that is 82 on the tackle for Fairmont, who's back there right now. That is Caleb Barnhill. The clock is
stopped. Fairmont took a timeout.
How did they? 11.3 seconds, folks. And that's going to bring up 4th and 15, 4th and 16 for the Elks, and they're going to have to punt.
And they're going to sell out and try to block it. I think they've been so close that that's what they're looking for here, is they want him to go ahead and try to punt it. They tipped one. They were close to another one. So I think they're going to sail and go after it. I think that was the reason for the timeout there.
All right, coaches for Fairmont are hyped over there. And they like what they've seen from the defense this evening. Scores Fairmont 6, Centerville 0. As you heard Dennis say earlier, Fairmont is going to be kicking off to Centerville at the beginning of the second half.
Nope, other way around.
Isn't Centerville receiving? No, Fairmont.
Yep, Fairmont kicked off.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
Ah, fantastic. So Fairmont will be getting the ball first. Cameron Payne standing deep at his old 25-yard line. Oh, very close to getting another one. This ball goes up and is spiraling at the 40-yard line, bounces to the 35, 34, down to the 32-yard line.
Take every second off.
That's right, which they did. And that is the end of the half, folks. We're going to hear from our halftime show. The score is Fairmont 6, Centerville 0.
It's the Butler Heating and Air Conditioning Halftime Program. Now let's head back to the studio for tonight's program.
I'm with Dave Miller. He's the head coach of the Fairmont Firebirds. And coach, as the season starts to wind down, we want to talk a little bit about the Wayne game. In the first quarter, a 99-yard touchdown return on a fumble recovered by Steve Doty. How did you see the opportunity for that presenting itself?
Well, quarterback tried to reach out for the pylon there, and ball came out. Stevie was right there, picked it up, did a nice job, just, you know, presence of mind to grab it, and he's pretty fast. So, you know, by the time he got going, he's got a pretty good chance of doing that. Ran out of gas there a little bit at the end, but, you know, he got it in there. So that was big, really big.
On Wayne's game, a winning drive, they went on it for a 4th and 1. It looked like you had Thompson stopped, but a second effort got him the first down. Do you attribute that to a tired defense, considering it was a long drive?
I attribute that to a kid, you know, really going hard, and he's a load, you know, and we should have had the tackle, but it's high school football, you know. Good for him. That second effort, you know, got him where he needed to be. You know, we gang tackle better. That doesn't happen either. I mean, we did have a guy there to stop him, but we needed several other guys hitting him too. So, but, you know, good for him, like I said.
400 yards offense for Wayne in this game with 20 and 21 play positions in the second half. What led to their success, especially in the fourth quarter?
Well, you know, I think we got to get back to fundamentals a little bit. We had some guys, I think, that were not really sure what they were doing and out of position a little bit. I'm less concerned about the yardage and more concerned just about our MO is make them earn it. And I don't feel like we really did a good job of that. It's uncharacteristic of us. I think we're better than that. They're a good offense too, though. I mean, to be fair, they're up there at the top, so for a reason. But I think just we got to tighten the bolts up here a little bit and just get back to fundamentals. And I think that that definitely is going to help us. We're still that defense that, really for a stretch there was making it very tough on offenses. And we got to get back to that.
To your credit, you got down to their 5-yard line on the last drive. How often do you practice that gadget play that stops short this time?
We do it periodically. I mean, it's pretty much every week, and sometimes it looks good, sometimes it doesn't. That was pretty good. Brock did a nice job on that, and we got it over to Gagel, and I know what he saw. He's over there about to the 10-yard line and had a blocker in front, and I think he felt like, the idea is to keep that alive, but he felt like he could get in, and I don't blame him. I mean, at that point, you got to make a decision, and he decided to lower his shoulder pads and see what he could do, we're on the 5, so that's how close that was. But
okay, let's move on to Centerville. This week at Centerville, and they had a strange one last week in their Springfield game. One because they forced 5 turnovers, and Saints defense has their strong suit all year. What are your thoughts?
Definitely. They're a really good defensive football team. Very opportunistic. They took advantage of Springfield's, mistakes and made them pay for it. They fly to the ball. They're very well coached. Really on both sides, in all phases, but there's a reason why they're at the top of the conference, so we got another big test, and our conference is a bear. We've been talking about that all year, and it's just every week you got to strap up and go play. So we will have our work cut out for us for sure.
Quarterback Drake Wells has thrown almost 200 passes this year. How does he differ from other passing GWAC quarterbacks that you've faced?
Well, he's a really good thrower. You look at his, percentage, it's up around 65% or so. So, they've thrown it a lot, and he completes them a lot. So he's a dangerous passer. Not quite probably the runner that some of these guys are, but, he's not bad either. When he takes off, he's tough there too. So we can't just, drop back into coverage and let him run on us too. It's going to be a tall order. They've got the other kid, the Newcomb kid, too, who could come in, and that adds a whole other element when he comes in because he is pretty fast. But and he could throw, they sprinkle him all over the place, so it's tough to kind of isolate on things, I guess. But Wells is a good quarterback, so another good GWAC quarterback we're facing.
Okay, Newcomb. Was the quarterback you faced last year. He's been both a rusher and a pass catcher this year. Do you have to watch out for trick plays with him?
Not necessarily trick plays. I mean, just when he has the ball, he's dynamic, So we will, again, we're going to have to do all we can get back to fundamentals. We talked about that, I think, Saturday and even Monday, Sunday. Just we got to get back to who we are identity-wise, and I believe we will, But it's a challenge, but I think our kids are excited about it, have an opportunity to, play big games here at the end of the season. And, up until Friday night, we were in the talk for the GWAC. It's not completely out of the question. It's out of our hands at this point. We got to control what we control. But I think our kids are just, they're playing hard. They're working on getting better. This team's a good process team. We had a good talk about that Saturday and Monday when we came in, just get back to what we do, and let's see where the chips fall.
All right, and finally, last year Centerville won 7-0. Do you expect another low-scoring game, and how does excellent field goal kickers, Gehring and for you and Grants for Centerville, affect the strategy?
Well, they're both really good. Leland is ironically the brother of a couple of our guys, he's really good. He hit a couple, 48 yarders against Springboro, and he can hit you from anywhere on the field, and very strong leg. Max had an outstanding game Friday night. He's coached by Gantz, Andrew. So that could be a game changer. You know, I think the kicking game, special teams, both of us really value that and know how important it is. So, as far as it being low scoring, I hope so. Because that means our defense is doing back to where we are, and hopefully we can score more points than them. That's the name of the game. So.
All right, Coach. Well, thank you once again for taking time to speak with me today, and good luck on Friday.
Thank you.
I am with Brian Ullery. He's the head coach of the Centerville Elks varsity football team. Coach, in your victory over Springfield last week, you forced 5 turnovers. How has the defense carried you this season?
They've done a phenomenal job. You know, they practice really hard. They're led really well by some really great coaches over on that side of the ball, and it shows up on Friday night. So, you know, what you see on Friday night is how they prepare all week. So it's not really shocking to see, but they've done a great job of putting the offense in good situations and bailing the offense out. You said they created 5 turnovers, but we had 4 of our own, and they bailed us out of all of them. So they did a great job. And we could really lean on them. It's nice to be able to lean on that as an offensive side of the ball.
Offensively, only 11 passes to 41 rushes. What led to the emphasis on the ground?
You take what they're giving you, right? They took away our pass. They did a really great job of defending our passes and stuff and defending our players. So we decided to lean on the offensive line, the running backs, the tight ends, and said, if you guys want to win this game, go ahead and take over and do it yourselves. And the receivers did a phenomenal job of buying into that, too, of blocking downfield and making some key blocks on the perimeter for our running backs to get some more yards. So it was a true team effort. It looks like more run than pass, but it took all 11 of them out there.
Okay. Let's see. Kamara and Johnson are the top rushers. What's been their secret for success?
Humility, really. They show up every day compelled to improve, and they don't care who's doing the ball carrying. They don't care who's doing the pass protecting. They just want to be out there and serve the team. And, you know, when you have 2 running backs like that that are constantly pushing each other athletically and skill-wise and everything, they're going to continue to get better. But when they're their biggest supporters, you know that they can't wait to get back out there. But that when the next one goes out, that you're not missing a beat while they're out there.
Drake Webb is on his second full year at quarterback spot. How has his game developed?
Drake's done a great job. You know, he missed part of the summer, which kind of, you know, he'd say it hurt him, but he got every mental rep that you could possibly get. He studied all offseason and everything, and when he jumped in week 1, he was really ready to go. And he's continued to improve each week. He's continued to allow us to be able to add to the offense every week. And, you know, you can kind of do it seamlessly because, you know, as soon as you tell him, he's going to know what to do and how to do it and how to execute it. So it's just a matter of calling it at the right time. So he's done a phenomenal job growing, and, you know, the team is doing a phenomenal job growing around him.
All right. His favorite target seems to be Jamar Montgomery. What are his attributes?
Jamar Montgomery is a phenomenal receiver, a tall, long boundary receiver for us for the most part. He can win a jump ball with the best of them out there. He can get himself open, and he's an incredibly selfless blocker too. So it's hard for defenses to defend him and the run at the same time. So when they choose to defend the run, that's when we try to find guys like Jamar the ball. And then when they're defending him, he has no problem getting in there and blocking. So he's a great big target for us, and Drake loves to throw him the ball. So we're going to keep doing that.
Okay, defensive back Ross Kopic came up with 2 big interceptions. He's also a leading tackler with 66. What's led to his success this season?
Ross just flat-out works. You know, he's been working since the beginning of last season. You know, and when I say beginning, I mean the January before last season. And he hasn't looked back. He hasn't taken a day off. He's devoted to his craft. You know, he's doing exactly what he did last year. You know, he's a standout guy that makes plays. He puts himself in the right position. He's very coachable. And when you're extremely coachable like he is, you find yourself in positions to make interceptions and make tackles and everything. And he's the defense, we funnel the ball to the middle. So he's the one standing in the middle, and he's the one that gets to make all those tackles. But he does a great job, and it's really just a hats off to the work that he puts in.
Okay, kicker Leland Gantz, 9 for 9 on field goals, including 1 from 50 yards. When you have such a powerful kicker, how does that affect your strategy, say, when you get inside the 30-yard line?
it's nice to know that you pretty much know you have points when you get inside the 30-yard line, or even we'll go for him a little bit outside of the 30 and everything. Leland's a tremendous competitor. You know, he's worked all offseason as well to put himself in position to have these opportunities and to earn our trust, and he keeps working hard every day. He's a big foot, and he's a big foot in the punt game as well, where he can flip a field, and he can do it on kickoff and put them in the end zone and make people start from their own 20. Leland's a tremendous weapon for us, and, you know, kind of pick up from last year where we had Jackson Corville, and then we had a kicker battle going into this year. Leland has really grabbed that bull by the horns and said, you're not going to miss a beat. In fact, we're going to try to improve and see if we can improve over the next 2 years with Leland. So we're excited to see what he's capable of. I know that he's capable of more than 50, and maybe this will be the week that he gets a shot at something 55 or higher.
Finally, your thoughts on Fairmont, a pretty one-dimensional team without Brock Baker. And he was, of course, at the running back. And that wasn't Brock, but Drew Baker. Had the wrong Baker.
You know, people think they're one-dimensional. I don't. They have answers for other people's answers. They run the ball a lot. Yeah, that's their choice. But they do a lot of things dynamically different from play to play, and they can really exploit if you load up and try to stop one play. You know, between load options and counter options and traps and everything in between, inside and outside veer, it's very impressive to watch them call their offense and call it so systematically and know that they have a goal with every single play call, and watch them accomplish that play call. It's very impressive. And then on top of all of it, they're going to hurt you in the pass game. Like they're gonna make sure that you're defending that and that you're coaching that and that you're spending time all week on that. I just think they're so tremendously well coached. You know, I just have such a high respect for Dave Miller and what he does over there. They're definitely a formidable opponent, and you know, we're excited for that opportunity to try and defend them this week.
All right, Coach. Well, that's all I got for you this week. And again, thanks for taking the time to talk to me this year. And good luck on Friday.
Thank you so much.
This is Barney Sentner in 1660 Master Control. Time to talk about the Firebirds opponents for the final week of the regular season. The Beaver Creek Beavers, who are playing at Northmont tonight. But this game will be at Beaver Creek next week. And let's take a look at the Beavers in depth. Marcus Colvin is in his third year at the helm after 11 years at Chaminade Julienne. He went 65-52 there, making the playoffs seven times. He played his collegiate football at the University of Dayton from 1999 to 2003. All right, we're going to talk about their season. They come into this Northmont game at 2-6, and they lost their opener 36-0 against Xenia. And then they defeated Ponitz. That score was 62-7. A game in which Quentin Youngblood had 153 yards rushing and three touchdowns. You're going to hear this name a lot, along with the name of C.J. Crawford, a senior linebacker. Second highest returning in the GWAC in tackles. He had 116 last year. In this big win over Ponitz, he had 12 tackles. Six of them were for the solo variety. And then in the final non-conference game for the Beavers, they defeated Thurgood Marshall. That score was 39-8. Five touchdowns in the game for Youngblood, 209 rushing yards, and Crawford had 19 total tackles. Then it gets tough. 31-0 loss to Springboro. Youngblood did have 95 yards on the ground, and Crawford had 15 tackles. And he's also their punter, by the way. He had six punts, including one for 63 yards. Next game for Beaver Creek, they were shut out 49-0 against Springfield, but Crawford did have a 55-yard punt. Then they lost 49-27 to Wayne, a game in which they put up a good fight. This game was tied at 14 after the first quarter. In the game, Beaver Creek did manage 300 yards of offense, including a 62-yard touchdown pass from Jack Minnick to Lakin Pierce. Crawford, again, effective on the defense, 13 more tackles, six of them of the solo variety. And then Centerville defeated Beaver Creek. That score was 38-6. Minnick did complete a 79-yard pass in that game to Youngblood, and senior defensive bat Maddox Johnson led the way with nine tackles. And then it was a 28-10 competitive loss against Miamisburg, a game in which the Beavers were only outgained 312-242. Minnick had his best passing game of the year. He went 15 of 29 for 203 yards. It was senior Austin Brandenburg with eight catches for 94 yards in that game. And there's that man again, Crawford on defense, 14 tackles. Johnson added nine tackles. So coming into tonight, Minnick was the GWOC's fifth-rated passer at 744 yards with four touchdowns. Youngblood, the top rusher in the league, 743 yards, 11 touchdowns, averaging almost 5 yards per carry. And Crawford, the number one tackler in the league, coming into tonight with 91 tackles. Pierce, the top receiver he is for Beaver Creek, 11 catches this year for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, averaging 27 yards per catch. Last year in the game, Fairmont won it 42-3. Game in which Beaver Creek was outgained 301 to 131. But Crawford again in that game did shine. He had 15 tackles. Colvin talks about his cycle of belief. We'll hear what that's all about during our interview with him, which you can hear at halftime of our live broadcast from Beaver Creek next Friday. But that is the information about the Firebird opponent next week, Beaver Creek. They're playing at Northmont tonight. But for right now, this is Barney Centner from 1660 Master Control.
Well, that's it for this week's halftime with the coaches. Now, let's head back down to the field for the exciting conclusion of tonight's game.
All righty, welcome back to halftime. 6-0, your Fairmont Firebirds lead the Centerville Elks. And while we have a minute here, you guys get to hear from them all the time, but I want to thank our underwriters. I like to do that myself, actually. So if you happen to run into one of these businesses, please do mention that you heard from them here during our games. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Dayton Art Solutions, Dimnica Italio Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, High Head Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, and of course, Coin Dentistry, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotor Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Cinerama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center. We thank you. Welcome back, Aaron.
Well, welcome. Happy to be here, Dennis, as we are getting to the end of this halftime frame here. Appears like we're probably going to have another 3 minutes here for the teams to warm up before we get this game started again. Fairmont will get the ball here first in the third quarter. As Fairmont is up 6-0 here, I'm thinking that we're going to have an exciting second half here, Dennis.
Oh, we definitely are. This is a lot of fun. We were talking in the halftime that, you know, this game really, the first half favored Fairmont pretty heavily. They really dominated on both sides of the ball, but yet they're only winning 6-0. You'd like to see some more points if you're in the corner of the Firebirds. But either way, they're going to get the ball to start the second half. And like I said, momentum definitely on their side. One thing that I will say before we get into some of these other statistics and numbers would be, right at the end of the half, you saw something out of Centerville that I've not seen from Fairmont really since Dave Miller took over. And that was, they really kind of took the last few plays off. You had that sack that really could have been a fumble. You know, they called it intentional grounding, but Fairmont just exploded through their offensive line. They got all that sorted out. They ran another play, and Fairmont, again, just exploded through that offensive line like they were not there. So physically, it'll be interesting to see if Fairmont can really impose their will here in the second half. But I want to break down some of the scoring, and then I also want to talk about the GWOC, Aaron, because there's some interesting scores going around the GWOC right now. So let's start there. In the GWOC today, the other games are Springfield at Miamisburg, Beaver Creek at Northmont, and Springboro at Wayne. So I'm going to start with the most surprising halftime score, and that would be 24-8, Springboro defeating Wayne in Huber Heights right now. Not defeating, they're just beating them. Wayne just likes to take the first half off and then play the second half so far this season. So that game is definitely not decided. They got the two-point conversion and scored right at the end of the first half because they were trailing 24-0. So down 16 to start the second half. Northmont all over Beaver Creek, 38-7. Obviously, Fairmont plays Beaver Creek next week. Should be a win. So that makes tonight even more important. You never know, though. And then the other game, like I said, Springfield at Miamisburg, 17-14 Miamisburg at the half. Springfield getting a little medicine from some of the teams in the GWOC this year.
Right, and Springfield for the past few years has been a juggernaut. This year, been a little more difficult, and they've been running into some stiff competition.
Well, and like I said at the beginning of this broadcast, the only team to beat this Centerville team in this stadium since 2021, the beginning of the 2021 season, is Springfield, and that was last year. So Fairmont trying to do something that not a lot of teams can do. Let's talk about the scoring. So in the first quarter, Centerville actually missed a field goal with about 4:45 remaining in the first quarter after they had converted a field goal but moved back because of a penalty. Shortly after, about a minute after, Stevie Doty, 54-yard touchdown run to kick Fairmont off the scoring, the only touchdown in the first half. They blocked the extra point. It had been Fairmont. It was 13-13 on extra points before that attempt. It was blocked, so Fairmont led 6-0. Outside of that, Fairmont missed a 44-yarder with 9 minutes to go in the second quarter. Other than that, that's it. There's no more scoring. It was just back and forth. Both teams had some opportunities, weren't able to convert. Penalties were a huge factor there in the first half, Aaron. Centerville had some very debilitating ones, and then Fairmont actually scored on about a 70-yard pass that was called back for a chop block. So penalties hurting both teams.
So Stevie Doty and Cameron Payne deep for Fairmont to receive the kickoff from Centerville. As Leland Dance is getting his folks here assembled here for the kickoff, Fairmont 6, Centerville 0. We're going to get an opportunity to see what adjustments Fairmont might have made here at halftime. So Gantz puts it up, and it's going deep, 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 deep into the end zone. And that is going to be a fair catch. Well, not a fair catch. That's going to be into the end zone. It's going to be 20 at the 20-yard line for Fairmont.
It's nice to have these kickers that, you know, I mean, it's not every time because we saw Gehring, you know, he kicked it down to the 1-yard line. But the automatic touchback, it's a huge advantage, you know, for your team to just, I mean, you still got to run down there and do everything. But it's nice to be able to do that and just kind of, hey, go ahead, start at the 20.
Right. And so Fairmont comes out. They've got one wide receiver in the set.
Do they stay aggressive, Aaron, or do they revert back to classic Fairmont and try to bully them a little bit this half?
We will see. We got double wings here to the near side of the field. I'd like to believe that is Doty down there. Not sure. It is. Baker takes a snap, hands it off to Turner. Hasn't had many opportunities to carry it here tonight. He picks up about two or three.
Run up the middle, picks up two.
And so they're going to say two, and that's going to bring up second and eight for the Firebirds.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Centerville changes tactics here and really plays it more honest. And what I mean by that, they really sold out a lot in the first half to stop Turner and these quick fullback dives. They may play a little more classic here, and Fairmont should find some room with Turner, but they're going to have to get back and kind of stick to it doggedly. If anyone can do it, Fairmont is that team.
Gagel and Dunleavy in at wings is a handoff to Turner, who runs off the left guard. He gets about the 25, might have been a gain of two more, and that's going to bring up third and six for the Firebirds.
Big third down to start this drive.
And they're going to say fives. They're going to give them a. They're going to push that ball up to the 25-yard line. And so it's going to be third and five from the 25 for the Firebirds. No wide receivers in the set. Gagel and appears to be Dunleavy are the wings in the backfield. Baker, motion near side, keeper by Baker, who runs off the left tackle, gets just short of the first down, down to the 29 before he's tripped up, and that's going to bring up fourth and one, and we'll see what happens here. They're going to go for it, I believe so.
It does look like it. Here comes the meat. They're coming in.
That's right. The jumbo set.
From your own 29-yard line, up 6-0. I love the call, to be honest. We haven't seen it stop, but it's a long yard.
I formation.
This could get stopped.
Turner in the backfield. In the backfield, he has it, and he's going to be very close. Soon. I believe he's short. And this is exactly done. What we had saw previous to last week quite a bit. And
the
why
mark
they switched.
Looks like they got it.
We'll see. Because last week they switched to, and they might have. Oh,
they're moving the sticks.
They got it. as Cameron Payne came in. I believe he was the one who rushed, and this was a switch from to last week where he was getting very easily, very close this week, but first down for the Firebirds.
That's one that can make or break a game right there. He had to be sweating a little bit when they were marking that ball. But, yeah, obviously you start on the 20, the ball's sitting on the 30. That's 10 yards.
Patton in the backfield for the Firebirds. Fakes the handoff, and there is a timeout called by Centerville for whatever reason. So that's the first timeout of the half for the Elks and leaves them with just two remaining in the game, Dennis.
And they are not happy. Whatever the reason, there was something going on there because the defensive coordinator is out there just giving his defense the business. And so there was they were either lined up poorly, they saw something that was going to be bad. Truthfully, when they hiked the ball, I don't think it would have gone anywhere, a couple yards for whatever it was, but something was not set up the way they wanted because they burned that timeout and they are hearing about it right at this moment. So they're trying to fire up Centerville, which is the most emotion we've seen out of this Elk team so far. I think they were looking at their record coming in a little bit, Aaron. Maybe looking forward to Wayne next week in Huber Heights. That's a big game next week in the GWOC.
It is. So first to 10 for the Firebirds. Ball marked at the 30-yard line. We're early in the third quarter. 9:40 remaining. Fairmont 6, Elks 0. Double wings here to the right side of the line. Patton in the backfield. Baker under center. They look to the sideline for the call. Baker settles under center again. Keeps it as he runs around the left guard. And on the keeper, he might have picked up 3 yards. It's going to bring up 2nd and 7.
Tackle made by number 2, Landon King.
Landon King in on the tackle.
2nd and 7 for the Fairmont 33.
Stevie Dottie back in the game for Gagel. Will we see something, Dennis, to the outside here?
So far, it's been very conservative. They're eating up clock, but they're moving the ball. So, but yes, I think coming probably this play, you may see that little reverse that they've been doing and having success with.
Dottie lined up to the right. Patton in the backfield. Dottie comes around to the left. They hand it off to Patton this time. He's able to get about one before he's stuffed. Tough going there up the middle for the Firebirds. Centerville defense doing a great job. That's going to bring up 3rd and 6.
This is Coach Miller keeping Coach Oleriel honest, you know, and saying you still have to be prepared for this. You're going to have to defend this. But it's 3rd and long, and they're not getting a ton with that. So, like I said, they've made adjustments, and they're kind of saying, all right, you want to take these 2 and 3 yards? Do it. And so far, they're not getting a big push off that front end from the offensive line.
So Dottie remains in the line, double wing to the right. Baker. Hands off. Is there another timeout called? Yes. Another timeout called by Centerville here in the first, in the second, in the third quarter. The coach is livid.
I would love to know what is going on because, I mean, these timeouts, they're coming right before they snap the ball. Both times they've done it, the play didn't look like it was really going anywhere. I don't think they had 12 men on the field. Because they've done that a couple times, but they've gotten off before the play was snapped.
So this is a great question. What's going on, Dennis? Because the defense has been playing well on this drive, yet they are doing something wrong that has cost them 2 timeouts here in the third quarter.
Are they conserving clock? You know, it's a little early down 1 score, you know, early here in the third quarter. But, you know, maybe they're trying to get the ball back with as much time as possible. No, we're kidding, of course. Those timeouts, they are not happy. I would love to interview those coaches after the game.
Stevie Donnie in at wing. He's here to the right in the backfield. That is Patton. 1 wide receiver split to the near side of the field for the Firebirds. 3rd and 6. From the 34-yard line, Baker looks to pass. He's under pressure. Wide receiver screen underthrown to Cameron Payne. As Payne was in the backfield, not Patton. It was underthrown. Great idea, but didn't get the ball out there enough. That brings up 4th and 6 for the Firebirds. Never seen that play before.
I think that was going for a long way. That's twice that the ball has just been, you know, inches overthrown. That one was underthrown, really, but you'd like to see him make a play for his quarterback. They're going to have to punt it away.
Okay. And Seton gets it. He goes off to the left here. It looks like that was a good 40, 45-yard kick. It's going to be down to the 30-yard line of Centerville. And so Centerville's going to get an opportunity to start their first drive of the evening from their own 30-yard line. And we have 8:07 remaining on the clock.
Something to consider, those timeouts, I mean, those are not to be taken lightly, because if Centerville doesn't go down and score and Fairmont's able to put any kind of points on the board in the fourth quarter, you're not going to be able to stop the clock. And as we know, there's no team in the GWOC that's going to burn clock better than Fairmont, especially if they can just get a few first downs. Centerville, this game could get very quick and shorten up very fast. So interesting drive here.
Wells in the backfield, hands off to Kamara, who runs straight up the middle. He may have gotten four, where he's taken down at the 35-yard line amongst the individuals on the tackle. I believe that is number 68, and that is Connor Haston.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here, and I would expect a very sharp drive from Centerville. This is kind of already into winning time, where they know they need to go down and put points on the board.
Too wide for the Elks. Also looked to appear to have two wings also in the set as they pick up what looks like to be a double wing set that Fairmont runs here. One tailback in the gun is Wells. Double wing to the right now. Wells hands off to Kamara, runs off the right-hand side, pushes up field, may have gotten 2 yards. Once again, great defense there. Is that number? Is that Connor Haston in again on the tackle? Amongst others, it is. So that's third and one for the Elks. Haston having a great series here.
Noticeably absent is Braylon Newcomb. We saw him come off early in the second quarter. Hasn't been back on. I don't even see him on the sidelines.
Third and one. Motion to the far side of the field. Wells looking for the snap. He has it. He's under pressure. Wide receiver screen. Comes back for it. He's going to be very close to the first down. I believe he got it, Dennis.
Yeah.
But that's all he got. As he was able to get to the 40-yard line, the same play that Fairmont attempted to run, but Centerville ran it successfully.
They did run it successfully, enough to get the first down, but they were looking for a bigger play there. Fairmont did a good job because they were fooled, but realizing it was a screen and getting back to the ball carrier and limiting that to a short gain.
So that was a gain of two. Wells gets under center here. Two wide receivers, one each side of the field. Hands it off to the tailback who runs straight up the middle. This time it was, I believe, Parker Johnson got that burst straight up the middle and was able to pick up 7-6. And that's going to bring up second and four for the Elks. They were able to get the ball up to about the 47-yard line, their own 47. Clock is ticking here. Elks back to the line in the gun. Wells is four wide. Man in motion near side of the pitch, gives it to him on the reverse, and he's taken down the backfield, and he gets up. But the first person there, I believe, who is that? That is number 68 again, Connor Haston.
He's been everywhere.
He has been.
That was a huge play, because if he does not get him, that's going for a long way. And instead, now you have third and long and an opportunity for Fairmont to get off the field. It would be huge.
So Haston able to catch him in the backfield for a loss, and that brings up third 11 for the Elks. 5:21 remaining in the quarter, 4-3 wide to the far side of the field. Wells takes a snap, looks downfield, throws to his left. His receiver is open there at the 45-yard line. That was, I believe, Jamar Montgomery on the catch. That looked fantastic, that pass and catch from Wells to Montgomery. That's a first down for the Elks.
Yeah, they did a great job there. The offensive line did, of giving them time. They had no pass rush there to be heard of. He had all day.
Three wide to the far side of the field. Wells puts Montgomery in motion to the far side of the field. Wells looks to the right, throws back to the left, wide receiver screen, but he's caught up there as the Elks all over it. Haston in and around there, but the tackle was made by Gavin Proffitt, who's at the bottom of that pile. Great defensive play there by Proffitt. I'm very impressed by Fairmont's defense tonight.
The way they've been playing coming into tonight, yeah, this is a shocker. I mean, they are
looking really good.
They are. They're up for the challenge.
Two wide receivers to the far side of the field. Wells in the gun, takes a snap, fakes the handoff, rolls to his right. His receiver is open. Oh, did he catch that? It was to Montgomery. He caught that, but that looked like that was great coverage there on the sideline by... Who was that, Dennis?
I think it was Deglow.
I think it was Deglow.
He was just late. He almost came across from a safety position and got it, but just a little late. And he gives up a lot of size there.
Mm-hmm. Montgomery, great pass to Montgomery there. Laid it out for him. First down, ball at the 30-yard line of Fairmont. One wide receiver to the far side of the field. Two wide receivers, one each side of the field. Fakes the handoff. Keeper, he's looking to pass. Throws it into the end zone. That receiver's open. Great defense. They're going to call the flag. They got there a bit early. Cameron Payne on the defensive play there got in the way of Montgomery, and they're going to say he got there early. Pass interference.
You can see this drive, though. They're just playing a lot more confident, and they're getting time, really. The offensive line's doing a wonderful job. These receivers are able to get into their routes a little bit more. He's keying in on Montgomery, no question. They got their hands full with him.
And Montgomery, their leading receiver coming into the game, Dennis.
We're already down to 3:49 mm-hmm. here in the third quarter. Fairmont leading 6-0 at the moment, but time just flying by.
And they're going to put the ball down at the 14-yard line, first and 10 on the 14. Two wide receivers split off the side of the field. One tailback has a handoff, and he's caught in the backfield. Oh, and he fumbles it, and I think that Fairmont recovered it as Kamara fumbles, and we don't know who has the ball yet.
That ball was out there for a minute.
It was.
Looks like Centerville ended up landing on it.
Ah, so Centerville able to recover.
Multiple flags? Or no, did they just throw the little thing that said it was a fumble? The ball was
I think
out.
That's the marker.
Yep.
As Kamara puts the ball on the ground, folks, and that's going to be a loss of 3 for Centerville, as that's going to bring up 2nd and 13. The ball's marked at the 18-yard line.
They were so close to pulling that in. I think that was Wilkins that forced that fumble. And he almost recovered it.
Two wide receivers in the set. New tailback. It's a pass from Wells. Fade route. And it is caught in the end zone. And making it look easy. As I believe that was Quincy Capogna who ran the fade route on the right side. That pass looked like it was a bit to the backside there. That was on purpose. Capogna brings it in for the touchdown. The score is Fairmont 6. Centerville 6.
Yeah, that was that drive I kind of expected. They were much sharper, much more aggressive downfield, really attacking the secondary there for Fairmont, and they did a great job. Big size advantage on some of those corners.
Jansen for the extra point. Kick is up, and it's plenty good. Score is 7. Centerville 6. Fairmont.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard them mentioned during today's game on the radio. This year's underwriters are ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home, Medical, and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen, Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotorer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Sinorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And we're back here in the game. We'd also like to thank Coin Dentistry for your sponsorship this year. That ball goes into the end zone for a touchback. So Fairmont gets an opportunity to respond here as Fairmont able to get themselves on the board with the 18-yard pass from Wells to Capogna to put themselves in the lead here. As you all remember, Fairmont had their extra point blocked. And we'll come to see if that is a problem here later on.
Yep, that one may come to roost. We'll see. And the missed field goal as well. So, you know, they've had their opportunities. The touchdown that got called back, no question. But right now it's just 7-6. You got a long way to go. Can Fairmont sustain a drive? They're going to have to get back to what they did in the first half and be aggressive. The first drive there in the second half was kind of bland.
Mm-hmm. Motion to the far side. We had a keeper by Baker as he calls zone number, and he's able to pick up 5 yards on the rush. That's going to bring up second and 5 for the Firebirds. We've got 2:41 remaining here in third quarter. This game is progressing quite quickly. So we have a man coming to the game for Fairmont. That is number 4. I believe that is Copley. That's Bruno. Bruno in the game. He splits out to the right. Double wing to the right-hand side of the line for the Firebirds. Turner in the backfield. Baker fakes the handoff to Turner, keeps it, runs off the left tackle to pick up 4 yards. That's going to bring up 3rd and 1 for the Firebirds.
9-3-7.
Turner and Bruno out of the game for the Firebirds. Cameron Payne in. Power eye from the Firebirds. In the back, that is Cameron Payne. It's been tough going in this power eye here a few times here. We'll see if they're able to pick it up.
Yeah, last time they barely did, and this looks to be, I mean, it is the exact same play almost because they're on the 29. They got to get to the 30, so it's in the exact same position.
And we'll see if they run to the left-hand side of the line again. And they do, and they got plenty. As he picked up a good 3 on that play. And so that's another first down for the Firebirds as they're going to put the ball down at the 42-yard line. First down.
It's so funny. Everyone knows what's happening. Just nothing you can really do about it.
1:09 remaining here in the third quarter. Score is Fairmont 6, Centerville 7. We've got one wide receiver in the set. We've got a wing on each side here. In the backfield, that is Turner. Motion near side. Baker looks to keep it. Turns up field. Gets all the way down to the 41-yard line as he picks up 9 yards. Maybe 10. They're going to give him 9. Second and 1 for the Firebirds. That might have been the most yards we've seen on a keeper there from Baker here tonight.
Yeah, and he has the ability to break them out at any given time, so you have to respect that. Interesting, another score for Springboro in the third quarter. Now 7:46 left in the third. They lead Wayne 30-8.
Gagel and Dunleavy set off to the left-hand side of the line. Patton in the backfield. Baker hands it off to Patton. Nothing. 3rd and 1. Multiple black shirts in on the tackle here, folks. Number 50 amongst them in on the tackle. That gentleman's name is Brady Seeley. And so that is the end of the third quarter with the score 7-6 Centerville.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard them mentioned during the games on radio. This year's underwriters are Act Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen, Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Riez Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotorer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, Flower Shop, and the USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
And so we're back here, Information Radio 1660 here at Centerville Stadium. It was 3rd and 1 for the Firebirds here at the start of the fourth quarter. They went to Power I, and they were able to pick up the first down by a smidgen. Shocking. So the ball is now at the 42-yard line.
Be sure to mention
the 42-yard line. First and 10,
and basically at this point, you're just going to break it up into little 10-yard games. You just got a 10-yard game and a 10-yard game, and they're just perfectly fine doing that and eating up clock.
So both wings line up on the right-hand side of the line. Keeper by Baker, who runs behind Patton, who had rushed to the right, and I don't think he got anything.
Nope. If anything, lost a yard, but it looks like he put it right at the original line of scrimmage.
And they're going to say no gain on the play. It's going to bring us 2nd and 10 for the Firebirds.
I think that you need to throw this ball.
Fairmont comes back to line. In the game is TV Dottie along with Asia Dunleavy. Both those wings are to the right. In the backfield, that's Patton. Looks to pass. And the pass is open, and it might have been intercepted. Oh,
knocked down.
That pass needed to be a little further. It was intended for Dottie. Looked like a jump pass from Baker. He underthrew it. He needed to put some more air under that.
About 10 more yards, and it's a touchdown. Yeah, Dottie had to stop, come back for it. That allowed, Ross Kopak to get back, and not, he should have honestly picked that off. But, yeah, now you have 3rd and 1. I thought they would throw that. That's a tough one because they didn't have any time. Like, he went back to pass and had to get rid of it much quicker than he wanted to. So that was really a breakdown on the offensive line.
So we have Cameron Payne at left wing, Baker under center, pitch out to Payne as he runs around the right-hand side. He turns it up for about 4 yards, but he's going to be extremely short of the first down. It's going to bring up about 4th and 5 for Fairmont, and they're going to be forced to punt.
Yep, and that's a tough drive there. You'd like to see them sustain a longer drive simply because Centerville, after just marching down and scoring, they're going to come out very confident here for this drive. You're really going to ask a lot for the defense.
Seton ready to punt here, and it is not the greatest punt, but able to stay in bounds for quite a bit of yardage as it finally goes out of bounds at around the 15-yard line. And might have been in the air for 10 yards, Dennis.
Yeah, it was kind of a shank, and then the Euro style where they kick it real low. I don't think he did it on purpose, but it worked out, and it just rolled and rolled, similar to that Centerville punt that was blocked earlier that rolled out 25 yards. I would say that one probably did just as much and just kind of danced down the sideline to stay in bounds for him. And, so good punt there by Fairmont, and Centerville going to start, where is that, about the 14-yard line.
Right. 10-12 remaining in the game. Fairmont 6, Centerville 7. Centerville has the ball at their own 15-yard line, 1st and 10.
Can they play mistake-free football? Because if they do, Fairmont's going to have trouble.
1 wide receiver, 2 wide receivers in set, very close, hands off to the tailback, run straight to the middle. Met there, I believe that was number 70 on the tackle. After a gain of 5 or so on the tackle, that was Levi Allen.
Number 28, Parker Johnson.
So Centerville back to line immediately. 3 on the line. Centerville looks to pass. Wide receiver screen to the left. Caught by the receiver. He's able to pick up 4 yards or so before he's taken down.
24, Jamar Montgomery.
Jamar Montgomery on the tackle. On the catch, 33 on for the tackle from Fairmont, Max Conlin.
That's the first screen that actually got some traction, and the reason why is the last drive. They had a couple deep passes that now Fairmont is backpedaling right at the snap. They don't want to get burnt deep, and that's creating some room closer. It's going to be a very manageable 3rd down here.
3rd and 1 for the Elks. Wells hands off to tailback. It's going to be very close to the 1st down as he ran off the left side of the line. I believe you got it, though, Dennis, and that's going to be a 1st down for Centerville at the 25-yard line.
Yeah, by about a half yard.
1st down, Centerville!
So it was a 1st down for Centerville.
1st and 10 on the Elks, 25. 9 minutes left.
So 9 minutes left in the ball game. The announcer said Fairmont 6, Centerville 7. Centerville has 3 wide receivers in the set here. Appears to be 1 tight end, 2 tight ends, empty backfield for Wells. Wells takes a snap, keeps it, comes to the right-hand side, tries to go up the middle, and he's able to pick up about 4 yards before he's taken down. So we hadn't seen that since the first half there, Dennis.
Yep, nope, they've called 2 running plays for him. They haven't gone for anything too crazy, but you never know. It'll always keep you honest. But you definitely know that Fairmont's trying to turn up the intensity and trying to pick up a turnover here. This game's been pretty clean. Penalties, yes, but no turnovers.
One tailback in the set for Centerville, 2 wide receivers. Wells under center.
Oh, they jumped.
Like we had some, yes, jumping there, but they were able to get themselves together. That appears to be in the backfield. Kamara. Wells under center. Fairmont blitzes, and it was Seton who came through and slowed that up, and they're going to lose a yard or two as Seton on the blitz was able to get to Kamara early, and they're going to say that there was no gain on the play, and that's going to bring up 3rd and 6.
Yeah, cleaned up by Profit, but Seton's the one that created that play. Came straight through on the blitz untouched. Did a good job actually avoiding Seton initially, but then Profit right there to clean it up.
7:27 remaining in the game. Empty backfield here from Centerville. 5 wide receivers.
Big play.
Wells takes snap blitz again from Fairmont. Wells steps up, catches his tight end for the first down in the middle of the field. And then finally, he's able to be taken down by Profit, amongst others.
You could tell Fairmont's running out of answers for the Centerville offense. They're throwing some blitzing at him, but he's doing a good job just taking what they are giving him, and what they're giving him is enough. And they're really starting to pick up bigger chunks. That was his third option, but it just ended up perfect timing.
So we have double tight ends, 2 wide receivers, 1 tailback. Wells under center. Wells hands off to tailback, comes around to the right. He's got a little room. He's going to pick up 7 before he's finally down. I believe that that was Parker Johnson on the rush. They're going to say that he picked up 6, 2nd and 4 for the Elks. Clock is moving, 6:28 remaining in the game.
Centerville leading 7-6, and Fairmont kind of getting a taste of their own medicine here. Centerville really controlled this entire second half, have had the ball the majority of the third quarter because they used 2 timeouts to get the ball back, and then now sustaining another long drive here.
Wells back under center, 2 wide receivers to the near side. It's another handoff coming to the right-hand side. That's Kamara, who's able to get to the 46-yard line. He came off a tackle to pick up a couple extra yards there. Finally taken down by Skyler Seifler, amongst others. Another first down for the Elks.
Yep, and you're getting really close to territory that they can convert a field goal here, which will be huge because they can push this to a touchdown game, because a field goal just will not be enough because that blocked extra point. So that point keeps coming back to haunt.
2 wide receivers in the set, 1 tailback stand to the right of Wells, who's in the pistol. Fairmont appears to be blitzing. Looking to the sideline for the call. They adjust the play. They've only got 4 seconds on the play clock. Wells takes a snap. He looks to his right, throws the quick pass to the receiver to the right, and he's able to catch that for about 5 yards. That was caught by number 86. That gentleman's name is Quincy Capagna. What a great job there by Centerville to edit that play.
Yeah, and I mean, Fairmont is going to have to step up and put a little more pressure because it's just an easy pitch and catch, and that's exactly what they did. They saw the pressure coming, checked to just a quick out, and with the timing of that and his accuracy, it's practically a run play.
Wells in the pistol, 2 wide, takes a snap, hands it off to the tailback, comes back to the right, turns it up. He's to the 25, 30, 20. He's to the 10. Pushed out of bounds at around the 5 by Logan Wilkins as Parker Johnson is able to get a big gainer. That's the biggest rush of the evening, Dennis, for him, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he is able to get the ball all the way down to what they're going to say is the 8-yard line. It's going to be 1st and goal from the 8 with 4:47 remaining here in the contest.
And all I could think about, Aaron, is what we were talking about at halftime, which was Fairmont needed to get more points in the first half. They really controlled the entire half and just were only able to get 6 points. And then now they did a good job forcing that short.
The handoff is to Kamara, turns upfield. He's to the 4-yard line, surging forward, maybe to the 3, flag thrown, I believe, or maybe that was a marker. We will see here in a moment.
It's an important flag. Probably a face mask, the way it was spinning around.
And the umpire and the referee, they're talking about it. What happened? So flag down the play. Face mask on. Face mask, 5-yard penalty, which is going to put the ball at the goal line, folks. 4:34 remaining in the contest. Centerville 7, Fairmont 6.
Yeah, the face mask was practically on the 1-yard line, so it moved it all of maybe 4 inches. It didn't really make a difference there.
Right. So Centerville here, first and goal from the 1-yard line.
Be interesting to see if they do kick the extra point to go up 8 or if they'd go for 2 with the opportunity to win the game, essentially, and go up 9.
Right. Wells gets under center here. In the backfield is Parker.
Remember when Wayne did this last week? 99-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown when he tried to extend across.
As that, well, it was a bit of a rush there. He was going down. And a keeper by Wells. It makes it look easy. And he is in the end zone for the touchdown. That's 6 more points. The score is 13, Centerville 6, Fairmont.
It looks like they'll go ahead and take the extra point, go up 8 points, and assure themselves that they can't lose this thing without Fairmont scoring twice.
And so we have Leland in for the extra point. Leland Gantz. The kick is up, and it is super good. The score, Fairmont 6, Centerville 14.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring Fairmont Firebirds football to you this year. When you visit one of these businesses, be sure to mention that you heard them mentioned during the games on radio. This year's underwriters are Act Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bill's Donut Shop, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen, Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Las Rias Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tub and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing Siding and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and U.S. Tire and Auto Service Center.
And we'd also like to thank Coin Dentistry here at Centerville Stadium, where Centerville has taken a commanding lead here, added another touchdown to the board this half. Well, the score is now Centerville 14, Fairmont 6.
When I think back to the start of this half and Centerville taking those 2 timeouts in that first drive, and their coaches were just so emotional, and it's like they injected emotion into their team. It's been a different Centerville team in the second half, and sometimes that's coaching. I tell you, you got to do it. You know, you got to deal with high school kids. Sometimes you have to be that emotion, but they've really done a good job tonight.
So we have motion far side, some trickeration. It was a pitch out to Cameron Payne, but Centerville all over it as Payne looked to throw it back to Baker. But he thought better of it smartly, sucked up the loss there of 3.
Yeah, and you could tell, I mean, Miller's emptying the playbook. They've thrown a lot at Centerville tonight with the reverses. That was going to be a halfback pass. They've ran, you know, all kinds of trick plays. However, unfortunately, it seems like you're just running out of tricks at this point. And when you do, you can tell, you can kind of see it coming. But it's a 1-score game, so...
So Baker looks to pass. He's going to keep it, or he does pass it as he throws it deep and is caught by...
That was picked.
Was it picked? I thought that it was going to Stevie Dottie, also in the route there. That was... Also... Who is that? We're going to get his number here in a moment. Who was also in on the pass route. That was Asia Dunleavy. They were open deep. But the ball didn't get there.
Yeah, it was just it was late. You know, it's hard to get the ball out that late and throw it that far. You needed to get it earlier.
So that's going to bring up 3rd and 13. Ball is at the 17-yard line. This is a big deal for Fairmont. too wide. Another pass under pressure. Baker is. Rolls to his right. He's going to throw it. And it's back to the middle of the field. And caught. As the ball is tipped. Caught by Daniel. Excuse me. That is caught by Bruno off the tip from a Centerville defender. There is also a flag on the play, Dennis.
Multiple ones. We'll see what this is. If they end up offsetting, that's just so killer. Because Fairmont was so fortunate to get the tip and then catch it. I mean, it was a lucky play to get the first down, no question. But we'll see if this comes back.
Right. We're not sure what's going on here with all these flags. Is they're going to go pick up one.
It doesn't look good for Fairmont. They're walking backwards.
They're going to say illegal man downfield.
Mm-hmm. It's because it was a screen that got busted, and so he created some room, but what that did is it put offensive linemen downfield. And there's not really much words other than just debilitating and just uncomfortable, like, because that one hurts.
So 2:52 remaining in the game, 14 Centerville, 6 Fairmont, 3rd and 13 from the 17-yard line. Fairmont wants to talk about it, and that totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, as I was looking at these past couple plays here, I would love to see some outs run by Fairmont.
Mm-hmm.
We have not seen that yet.
You don't have to get it all.
You really do not.
And they do this from time to time. I don't think it's the craziest thing right here on third down to run their little hook and ladder play. It's very successful. It's actually pretty high probability because you just do a little button hook, and when he comes back for it, you run one of your speedsters off the other side so that he's in motion when you're running. And it's a trick play, and they do it a lot on fourth down when they need long plays. I think now is the time to run that play. If you wait till fourth down, they're really looking for those kind of things. So you can go one of two ways. I do like your out idea. You don't have to pick up the whole first down, get this into a manageable play on fourth down. But really, I'd like to see them go for something on this play. I think you have a more statistical odds on this play of surprising them and getting a bigger chunk gain.
Right, and also as you're talking about that hook and ladder, also, too, to see some just general comebacks.
Mm-hmm.
So that the receiver or the wing can just sit in coverage there and pick up 5, 6, 7 yards. As it is, 3rd and 13, we've got one wide receiver split out to the near side. We've got double wings to the left. Baker looks to the left. He throws in that out that we're talking about. That's caught to the 21-yard line, and that was a gain of about 6. And that's going to bring up 4th and 7 or so for Fairmont, who's back to the line. Look in the pass, looks to the left. He's got time, throws it up. It's a fade route to Dottie, and he has it and dropped it at the 45-yard line. Whew! Turnover on downs for Fairmont. Centerville has it at around the 23-yard line, 2:28 remaining. It's Centerville 14, Fairmont 6.
That's going to probably seal the deal. That ball was well thrown. He should have caught it. He wanted pass interference. He was draped all over him. You could have called it, but you'd like to see him bring that ball in, no question. Not something that they get a lot of reps doing. You know, it's not something that they run a lot of, but that was a well-thrown ball, and it was an opportunity, no question about it.
And then talking about the out, it came up, and they ran it fantastically.
It was there.
Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. And so Centerville, one timeout remaining. Fairmont, two timeout remaining. Fairmont is going to need to get a turnover, something amazing to happen here. We've got two wide receivers set to the near side of the field, one tailback. That is Kamara. Hand off to Kamara. Comes around the right-hand side. And he has a head of steam as he just totally just ran over someone and got down to the 7-yard line.
Yeah, the willpower definitely not there for Fairmont at this moment. The writing's on the wall. They know it. They're well within field goal position for Centerville. 3 points ends the game effectively. So, yeah, short of a fumble, short of something absolutely silly happening, Centerville going to come out of here, and they had to fight, no question about it. But looks like they're going to come out with another win, and they're going to stay perfect in the GWOC.
Looks like
penalty.
Well, yes, not quite sure what the 10-yard penalty was.
That'll help. That moves them back, because when you got it down to the 7-yard line, this thing was effectively over. Now, at least, the field goal would be somewhat difficult, because it moved them back to, what, the 22?
Well, yep, 21.
Still, pretty easy field goal for him. He's pretty comfortable from where they're at already.
So that's going to be first and about 7-8 for the Elks. So got two wide receivers in the set. Parker's in the game. Hands it off to Parker, comes around to the right again, and he is stopped there at around the 20. Another flag throw, and that might have been a hot horse collar. If that was a flag, it might have been just a marker.
Nope, this flag.
I think that it was a horse collar.
Mm-hmm. Either that or another face mask. It was up around the helmet.
Yeah, it was high. So the clock stopped with 2:07 remaining here in the contest. So we've seen plenty of flags this week, Dennis.
More than I've seen from in a while as far as Fairmont games.
It was a face mask, and it was a personal foul against Fairmont. So they're going to move that one
against the Firebird
down to the 11-yard line. So first and goal for Centerville from Fairmont's 11. 2:07 remaining in the contest. Fairmont 6, Centerville 14. Wells is in the gun.
Give Centerville first down. First and 10 from the 11 of Perrin.
He's got one wide receiver in the set.
2:10 on the clock. 2:10.
2:10 going on the clock.
The tailback is Kamara, stands off to his left.
First down, Centerville.
Wells comes to the line to check. Steps back into the pistol. Clock's rolling. 1:59 remaining. He's in no hurry to get the snap here. As he lets the play clock roll, man in motion. Takes snap. Hands it off to the tailback, Kamara, who gets down to the 8-yard line. So Dennis has a gain of 3, 1:25. Feels like this game is effectively over.
Yeah, you need something crazy to happen. You need a couple of stops here. You'll burn your timeouts, and you need a missed field goal or a botched snap. I mean, crazy things have happened.
Right.
No question. But if you're sitting here thinking about this game, you really have to give your hat off to the Centerville defense. The reason I say that, take one play out of this game, which was the reverse that went for 70 yards from Doty, you know, the touchdown. Outside of that, this defense for Centerville has been suffocating. And, I mean, it's not like Fairmont hasn't thrown a lot at them. They did. They were more diverse than I've ever seen them, you know. And so I would say, overall, Fairmont played a pretty good offensive game, and they scored 6 points off of really one play. So, I mean, this Centerville team, they're well-rounded. I don't know if they do any one thing spectacularly, but they're just very good at everything. So they're going to be a tough out for anybody. But they can be beaten by a lot of teams as well. They did not play their best game tonight.
No. But as you can see, much like we saw from Wayne last week, Dennis, that when Centerville decides that they want to get going, they do. As Fairmont or Centerville comes to line here in the gun, fakes the handoff. Wells does, and he's going to run all the way down to the 1-yard line before he's tackled there. And that is going to bring up first and goal. Drake Wells was on the direct snap there as Wells took it down to the 1. And they're going to say the 2-yard line. And Fairmont uses their last timeout of the game here with 1:09 remaining.
Yeah, their last shred of hope here is that they can stop them short because, I mean, they can get a first down here and then just take a knee. But if they stop them for a negative play here, they'd probably take the essential PAT and end the game effectively with a field goal.
So we've definitely seen stranger things, like at the Wayne game when they were going to kneel it down. They were in the they were looking
at victory formation.
Victory formation and fumbled.
Yep. And then somehow won that game when they returned the punt later. So
that's right. I mean, that's right.
That's wild.
That was itself. Wild.
But yes, short of something silly, which we've seen our fair share of that. You saw that high school, like you said, the Wayne game. In college football, just happened with Miami last week, where just no business running a play. They run a play, they fumble, and then give up the 50-yard pass play to lose. Unbelievable. So, yeah, I mean, short of something like that happening here, I would be shocked if you see anything short of a QB sneak or just a handoff to the running back. Because even if you just kneel it at this point, you're going to take another 35, 40 seconds off before you run your forward that
Looks like they're going for it. Wells hands off to Kamara, and he is in. It's a great fake. And Kamara is in the end zone with 105 remaining in this contest. That's an additional 6 points for Centerville. It scores Fairmont 6, Centerville 20. Oh, this one's getting a bit out of hand here.
That's kind of what we expected in the game. It just happened backwards, right? You know, if the first half would have happened, you just flip the halves, you know, it would have been kind of almost predictable, right? But either way, Fairmont had their opportunities, just not able to really pull them out tonight.
Ganska's extra point with that. The score is Fairmont 6, Centerville 21. Looks like we're going to stay here. We got 1:05 remaining.
So since we'll stay here, I'll just read the underwriters one last time because we really do appreciate them. So I'll get them in quick. That's ACT Jewelers in Town and Country, Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Belmont Coin and Jewelry, Big Sky Bread Company, Bill's Donut Shop. That sounds good. Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Dayton Art Solutions, Dominica's Italiano Restaurant, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home Medical and Mobility, Highhead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotor Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing Siding and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, USA Tire and Auto Service Center, and, of course, Coin Dentistry.
All right. And we are back here. Fairmont set to kick off. Leland Gantz kicks that ball deep, and that is in the middle of the end zone. That's going to be a touchback. And we've only got 1:05 left here. Fairmont gets another opportunity to perhaps run some plays, get themselves together for Beaver Creek next week at Beaver Creek. Correct, gentlemen?
Yes, sir. All that right. is correct.
For the final game of this 2023 season, of the regular season, that is.
Girls varsity cross country is also away tomorrow at 10:45, also at Northmont High School.
So Baker. In the game, we also see Stevie Doughty in at wide receiver to the left here. Anticipate possible pass here. Motion near side is a pitch out. It's reverse. Doughty has it, looking to pass. Throws it back to Baker. Baker looking to throw it. He pitches it to Doughty. Doughty turns up, and it's only going to be a loss of 4 there as they were looking to get more. But they were able to get out of bounds, stop the clock. 53.6 seconds.
Kind of fun to watch.
right. I'd like to see just some regular preparation, some more outs. Let's run some more of those.
It's a creative 3-yard loss.
Right. Which brings up 2nd and 13 for the Firebirds here at the end of the game. Doughty comes out, wide receiver to the left-hand side of the field again. Baker is in. Under center, motion to the near side of the field. It's a pitch out. As we run around the side here, that is Gagel. Runs out of bounds around the 23-yard line. It's going to be a gain of, we're going to say, 5 or so. And so that's going to bring up 3rd and 8 for the Firebirds.
If you're interested in the other games in the GWOC and how they are doing, into the third quarter, Springboro leads Wayne 33-8. Northmont crushing Beaver Creek still 38-7. The other game is interesting. Miamisburg leads Springfield 24-20. That's getting into the fourth quarter.
48.1 seconds here. One wide receiver splits to the far side. Motion to the far side by Gagel. Pitch out to him. Looked like he was going to pass, but he's turning up field as much as possible. And he's going to get two. Did he get out of bounds? Don't know. Doesn't appear so. Clock still rolling 38 seconds here. Fairmont's going to be able to get in at least one more play here, which should be, well, they're going to go for it. Why not? And it looks like it's going to be a pass there from Baker. Intercepted. And it's turned upfield. And he's still on his feet. And he's going to be tackled around the 20-yard line, folks. So Centerville's going to get into victory formation here. And this should be the end of the contest. Well.
Dominating second half, Aaron.
Yes, yes, yes. So they're going to say that return got all the way down to the 19-yard line. And we're looking for victory formation here from the Elks to end this ball game with 11.3 seconds here on the clock. And you're talking about that Wayne score, 30-8 at home?
Let me see. Where was that game? That game? It was in Huber Heights. Same place they are next week for Centerville.
That is not a great look for the Warriors, who were able to be victorious last week against Fairmont. So victory formation, it appears. And victory formation for Centerville, they actually hiked the ball. Okay,
they don't do anything under center.
No, nothing easy. And that is the end of the game. Feels a bit risky, but hey, they executed. That's the end of the game, folks. And score is Fairmont 6, Centerville 21. Let's hear it. Let's go to our post game.
It's the post-game show for Fairmont Firebirds football, and we want to thank Butler Heating and Air Conditioning for underwriting this segment of tonight's game.
And, folks, we are back here at Centerville Stadium. Final score, Centerville 21, Fairmont 6. Dennis, what are you thinking?
Well, I tell you, like I said, they fought first half. They had plenty of opportunities. That's going to be something that they think about. At that touchdown that got called back in the first half, I got to say, you know, it was one that was just inches from being good. But they called that chop block. It was from the side, so, I mean, I think it was the right call. But you think just game of inches. You know, the ball goes this way, you know, there was a couple passes. That screen pass comes to mind, you know, that they just overthrew. You know, little things. But you do have to take your hat off and give credit to Centerville. They are a very good football team, and they showed it in the second half.
No, they are very good, Dennis. From top to bottom, great passes and catches there. Wells did a great job. Their receiving core, fantastic. Their kicker, he's got a leg on for sure. Even though he did miss a field goal, but that gentleman is even talking about. He has definitely shown himself to be the best kicker in the GWOC. And so Centerville next week they play
at Wayne.
And so that should be a contest, despite the fact that Wayne did not play well tonight versus Springboro.
I don't think the GWOC will be in question. I think Centerville locked it up tonight with Wayne losing and Centerville winning. I don't think that they're going to be playing for anything other than seeding next week in the tournament. But still always a big game, Centerville and Wayne.
Right, and of course Fairmont next week at Beaver Creek. Fairmont currently 4-5 going into Beaver Creek. And Beaver Creek, what is their record, Dennis?
Let me take a look, but I don't think they might have won one. I'll tell you in 1 second. I think they won they beat Ponitz. They got another one. Thurgood Marshall. They are 2-6. 2-7 after Northmont.
Right, 2-7 going into next week. So, folks, we appreciate you being here. Thank you, Dennis, also. And for Norm Schrein here at Centerville Stadium, final score, Fairmont 6, Centerville 21. We'll see you at Beaver Creek next week.
You've been listening to the Butler Heating and Air Conditioning post-game report. We thank Butler Heating and Air Conditioning and all of our underwriters for helping us bring this game to you tonight. You've been listening to Fairmont Firebirds Football on Information Radio 1660. Our thanks to Butler Heating and Air Conditioning for helping us to bring this game to you today. You can listen to this game or any other game from this season by going to our website at radio1660.com. Thanks for listening.